we're in Kansas City, and we're here for a great reason, but Chael, that's reason to celebrate. Roadhouse is out.
I love it.
Finally out.
I got it. I got a screener. I own it. I haven't watched it, but I do own it.
Are you going to watch it?
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to get into it. I tried to audition for that, by the way. I got skunked, but I'm still a supporter. I'm not a hater, DC.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Good Guy, Bad Guy. I'm Daniel Cormier. That is the bad guy, Chael Sonnen.
The better guy.
Hey, the better guy.
Huh? Oh, we were discussing that. You're the better guy. I'm the bad guy. You're the better guy.
Yeah, I'm just a little better. I wouldn't qualify as good, but hey, I'll take it. But Chael, listen, Conor McGregor, your boy, back in Miami, you had some bold statements about Conor coming back. I was not as believing as you were, but yesterday Conor spoke and he had this to say, and it sounds like dude's coming back.
Yeah, we got confirmation a few days ago that it's all systems go, and the Mac, the Notorious, will be returning in the UFC Octagon this summer.
Michael Chandler?
Yes, Michael Chandler, yeah. I like Mike. I'm going to bust Mike up, yeah. Now it's on, so there's no messing now. I cannot dip out now.
Chael.
Come on.
Chael.
Huh?
In Miami, you said he was coming back. He's told us time and time again that he's going to be back. He says it again. You believe it?
I'm excited. All I can tell you is I'm excited. Just watching him there in his little suit, he said, I like Michael. I'm going to bust him up. When he has his greatest insults at something like that, you want to know the greatest insult I've ever heard in MMA?
Tell me.
Conor McGregor said this. Nobody picked up on it. I mean, it went under the radar. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's a genius. And this one, he was still coming up. This is Dustin Poirier the first time. He wasn't a main event. He wasn't quite Conor yet. And he was complimenting Dustin. He said, I actually like Dustin. He's a simple little hillbilly from a circus town. That was all he said. From Louisiana, yeah, I'm sure you felt that one.
He goes, he's a hillbilly. I go, what am I? He goes, a ghetto hillbilly.
Yes, then he called you the hillbilly. But it was such a great line. Like, hillbilly was like this underserved insult at the time, and he said it was a circus town. I mean, it was trying to be nice. Remember, he used to wear the bow tie?
Yeah, I'm
only telling you this because I love it. I have a healthy skepticism whenever it's Conor McGregor. In the last 5 months, he's told us he was going to fight Chandler and a date at 185 pounds. It turned out that wasn't accurate information. Said he wanted to fight at the Spear. Brought in George Masvidal's name. Brought in Diaz's name. Said that he was going to go box Manny Pacquiao. Now, the reason I'm saying this, I don't think he's trolling us like some people do. I don't think this is misinformation, Daniel. I think there is some miscommunication.
Yeah.
I believe him in this one. But it was secondhand. Just to remind you, what he just said, he said that his team got a call from an agent. He did not say, I spoke to Dana, just for example. So we do have a little bit of a miscommunication.
And that right there, Chael, is why I still hold my excitement back.
Really?
Because you and I both know when you get to a certain level, you have a direct line to the boss.
Yep.
If Conor McGregor really wants to fight, Conor McGregor can just call Dana and go, hey, I'm in. June, International Fight Week. Book me and Chandler. I'm down. He has that ability to reach out to the boss directly, but instead, he's going through the team. That's why I'm skeptical.
Yeah, so you picked up. See, I'm glad you picked up on that because that's what stood out for me, too, is when he said where we got the information and it was removed like two steps. It was an agent. I don't know what that means. And then it went to somebody on his team. Oh, and by the way, Daniel, he actually, I mean, if we're really going to dissect that statement, he said a couple of days ago. It's like, well, wait a minute. You don't know? You don't know when the call came in? I mean, it seems like pretty big news.
He didn't bother to call back and go and confirm.
Yeah.
Because, again, you got that direct line. Now, I will hold myself back in terms of how excited I get to watch him fight. But if this is true, if this is the case, if he is fighting Michael Chandler, then I get excited. Because not only do I get excited about Conor McGregor fighting, because every time he fights, it's a spectacle. Right? It's huge. Yep. It's massive. The entire country of Ireland seems to be inside of the T-Mobile Arena. The energy is outstanding. It is a great atmosphere to take part in because we all take part in it, right? Whether you're at the desk or if you're next to the octagon, you experience a Conor McGregor fight.
For sure.
It's awesome. It makes me happy for our boy Michael Chandler.
Yep.
This man has been waiting for a really long time for this opportunity to fight Conor McGregor. But then it leads me to wonder, is Conor McGregor looking to do this thing for real again, Chael? Or is Conor McGregor looking to do this thing to, one, fight, and two, not go out with a broken leg sitting in the middle of the octagon screaming at Dustin Poirier's wife, who I don't understand why he was screaming at her. Like, is he doing this thing to try to make a run? Or is this guy trying to just get it right from the last time?
Okay, I will tell you this. What you will do as a human being just about anything to cling to your identity. You do not want your identity in how you are known. Connor wants to be part of this community. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wants to be an MMA guy. He wants to be viewed as a UFC guy, a top fighter, a top draw, a top star. I don't blame him for that. And I'm just sharing, as an athlete, it was very hard for me to let go. And not because I wasn't aware that my better days were behind me, Daniel, or even that my goals weren't going to be reached. I needed to be part of the community as to whatever that meant. Can I go to one other thing when we're talking about what Connor said? You and I had touched on something on the last two shows that we have, which is I predicted perhaps Connor doesn't want to fight if he's not going to be a main event, and perhaps Dana's having a hard time putting him in a main event of a pay-per-view since it's not a contenders match or a title fight. Now, I just want to hold that because Connor addressed that, and he didn't say our names directly, but he was talking to us, and he said, I do want to make it clear to anybody that believes that I care of the placement of the card. I would prefer on my first fight back to be three rounds, and I don't care if I have to start the show.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that. That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. And Daniel,
Look, I'm giving Conor McGregor a three-round main event if that's the case. But I know that his name has to be at the top of the card. He has to be in the lights chill. It would be too missed an opportunity. But you know what? You just said something, and you're very good at predicting things. But you said he still wants to be a part of this community. There's years and years that pass between fights. Sure. Obviously, this one is because of the injury. But why does it always take so long? If he wants to be a part of this community, why is it always so much time between fights?
Yeah, and that's the biggest deal. You remember when Nick Diaz came back? He took on Lawler, but he wanted to have this big comeback. And I thought, okay, but Nick, you've taken 5 years off. That has to be the lesson that's learned in this Robbie fight. No more breaks. Get booked right away. I mean, if you're really doing this as an athlete, and we know this as wrestlers, you got to get your feet wet. You go into a couple of tournaments before you go into the Olympic process, just for example. Make those weigh-ins. Make those travels. Sleep in the hotel. I mean, there's a lot of things that go to it. And I bring that to you because, yes, if Connor was going to take on a full schedule, if he was calling out 2 and 3 guys, he understands this is a contenders match. Daniel, I liked when he said, I want to get my feet wet and I want to go 3 rounds, because that is the responsible thing to do. Doesn't work that way in this sport. It's not like amateur sports where you can control that, but I like that he had the mindset. I thought that he stayed youthful, and I thought he really humbled himself.
You know what's good about that is he has the wherewithal to know that he's not ready to go 5 rounds right away. But you remember when they first changed that to 5-round main events? There used to be 3-round main events. And then that great night in San Jose, Dan Henderson versus Mauricio Shogun Rua, first 5-round main event in UFC history. That was not a title fight. And ever since, we've had some amazing fights in those situations. Chael, Conor was talking about his future to Mark Raimondi. Mm-hmm. And he said this. Now, I have a point I want to make, right, about Michael Chandler and the matchup. But let's listen to Conor first before we get to that.
So I have 2 fights after my UFC contract. I'm excited to get them. What's next? I don't know. I have not been accosted by, you know, there's been no talk of a re-sign. I don't know how would you even approach someone like me to re-sign? What would that look like? You know, I love the UFC dearly, Mark. That's my heart is in the UFC. My catalog, my life. And I wish to continue this. How that looks, I have no clue.
You know, Conor's like, wondering aloud about the future, right? And he's at the end of a contract. This is such a unique situation because there's never been anybody like this. We know, right? At least through the dark channels that we find information in for our YouTube and everything else, that Francis Ngannou, if is to believed, got offered $7.5 million per fight to stay as the heavyweight champion of the world. But Francis Ngannou is not Conor McGregor. Right? What does that look like? How do you approach a guy like Conor McGregor? How do you value him in this environment to try to get him to stay when he knows he can go fight a Manny Pacquiao and make the amount of money that he could make? I mean, Francis is making $20 million right now to box.
Yeah, hey, look, if it's just a cash grab, there does seem to be there some other options. One thing about the UFC, you will make what you earn. You will be given an opportunity, and there is no cap on it. But you're going to have to earn it. I think that I think Red Panty Night is still real. I will just tell you right now as we're doing the show, DC, I'm excited seeing Conor. I don't like that hat that he had on.
I mean,
hat? But who breaks down a guy's hat, right? Conor, nobody could get me to comment on their hat. No, I like everything about this
Hollywood
guy.
He's becoming Hollywood. He's wearing his hat now. Yep. It's not the kind of thing, you know, when you start starring in movies, you start wearing weird hats. But I've noticed that. I don't understand that.
If you know the scarf guy, you go to movies, you get the hat, then you got the weird scarf
If he comes with a scarf, I'm out.
Yeah.
If he puts a scarf on next with that hat, I'm out.
My point, though, is just I think that he's still really big. I think Roadhouse is going to help him. I think if anybody knows how to use it, Connor has stayed the boss even after a loss, and it's a very hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. I read somewhere that he's lost like his last five fights. I can't confirm that or not because it doesn't feel like he has. Yeah. Every time I see him fight, I want to see him fight a little bit more.
Yeah.
And one thing is about, you know, supply and demand is very real. And we just haven't had very much Connor. Look, I think that he's a big draw. I think that the money is here. He's going to have to earn it like everybody else, but I think he can.
And he does, right? He's got all of the biggest pay-per-views. The numbers, they show that they're going to pay him a crazy amount to keep Conor McGregor because that's exactly what you have to do. But when you talk about expectation, my thought is this, and I had a great conversation this morning off the record about the expectation for Conor's return to the octagon. I believe that he has the right matchup. I think, especially seeing him standing next to Mike there, I didn't realize he was that much bigger and taller than Mike. I love Michael Chandler. I think Michael Chandler has many avenues to go and win this fight. I don't believe that Michael Chandler is going to go down that path. I believe that Michael Chandler will fight him in a way that's going to make it possible for Conor McGregor to win. And I'm not predicting the fight.
Sure.
I'm just saying that I don't know that Chandler goes out there and wrestles him down the whole time like Khabib did. And when you're standing with him for an extended period of time, you can get knocked out. And I believe that's why Conor's saying, I'll take Chandler. And I believe he has the right matchup to make a big splash. Remember the Cowboy matchup,
sure,
right?
Sure, of course.
It was Cowboy Cerrone.
Yep.
He came back. He's back on top of the world. Is this the right matchup?
I think that it's interesting. Look, don't forget that Chandler has been out for a year and a half himself.
Waiting room.
Yeah, people are acting like, you know, this is a return for Conor. Well, it's a return for Chandler as well.
And, Chill, also the fact that Mike is the one that took the damage.
Yeah.
Right? Mike's had the Poirier fight. Mike's had the Gaethje fight. Mike's had all the tough fights. The Charles Oliveira fight.
Sure.
Like, Mike is, if you really look at it, Chandler has more damage than Conor McGregor, more mileage.
Yeah, 3 rounds is not the world's worst idea that I've heard, by the way. I mean, I think that both of those guys, I'd kind of like to see all that energy packed into one. I'll tell you this, Daniel, something that I'm watching closely as a way of what can I expect for Conor is Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman was coming off a very similar injury. He's had one fight back. It looks like he's going to have one more fight and call it a career. Yeah, but that was more about, you know, you get back on the horse. You get back up like a real fighter. I really admire it in Weidman. I admire it in Conor, and I feel like Conor doesn't get much grace around here. I feel like Conor, because of the interview and the presence, we forget. That's a human being who was broken in half, who's getting back up. And I know guys, Daniel, that think they're fighters, but they really just know aggression. I go take someone down. I go beat them up. That's aggression. A fighter gets back up when it's hard, and that is what Conor McGregor is proving to be, and he deserves credit for that.
Yeah, he does, time and time again. And I wonder about this. Chris Weidman had every intention to kick whenever he got back in there. He said he couldn't kick for the life of him.
Yep.
And then Brad Tavares kicked him a million times. He said he was so afraid to use that leg to try to deal out damage because he was so worried about the injury. How does that affect Conor? Chris Weidman said he's walking away because he wants to go box. He's going to go do some of the celebrity boxing. That way, you don't have to deal with the leg injury anymore, right? There are so many different factors that play for Weidman. How many of those will Conor have to deal with also, especially if Chandler comes out there right away and just kicking at the leg, trying to really get at that bad wheel?
Yeah, Daniel, I went down. I did a suspension for violating one of the PED tests. One of the things that will hurt you on PEDs when you come off of them isn't just that they make you bigger, faster, stronger, Daniel. It's the psychology of, can I do it now that I know I'm not bigger, faster, and stronger?
Yeah.
And I will tell you, it affects you. And it's just a real thing, because when I heard about Weidman not being able to throw that leg, Conor hasn't brought us in on that yet and told us what he's feeling. But I think that we're right. I think that he is second-guessing that. I think that some of the training is reduced as a way of making up for that leg. And I bring that up not as an excuse for Conor. I bring it up because he really should be recognized for that. This is not just about a draw and being flashy and making a whole bunch of money. He doesn't need those things. He wants those things. And I think that the greats have to want it, and he is one of the greats.
You know, and at the end of the day, regardless of what you think about Conor McGregor, dude's a fighter. He is a fighter, man. And I believe that as a fighter, at times, he can be a tad bit underrated because the Conor McGregor that became the double champion was an absolute savage. He had a ton of skill. He was a fantastic striker, but he could do all the other things that allowed for him to not only beat one of the greatest featherweights of all time, but beat Eddie Alvarez in a wipeout to really set the standard for what the future of the UFC looked like. So in terms of box office draws and accomplishments and the idea that you can be something greater than a UFC champion, that all started with Conor McGregor, and he does deserve credit for that. Now, Conor McGregor is always a part of a big fight. But this weekend, we also have a massive fight, very important fight from the UFC Apex.
The undisputed heavyweight champion of the world!
All right, Chael, so it's time for Headline Hunch. Yep. What do you feel the headline will be Monday after Rose Namajunas takes on Amanda Ribas in her return back to the flyweight division?
I'm a believer. Now, in full disclosure, I just spoke to Rose and her trainer, Pat Barry. So I've got to tell you, they're coming back down to 115 pounds, Daniel, and they're doing it for one reason, which is a title hunt. Mm. Rose liked her performance at 125, and I know that is contrary to the narrative that so many people believe, but Rose broke her hand in the first round of that fight. And I'm only sharing that with you because she thought she was competing very well. She thinks she could make a run at 125 pounds. But when the media and the narrative changed on her so hard because of the outcome of that match, as opposed to what she viewed as the performance, she's coming back to 115. And I do think that she's the real deal. I do not think her best days are over. I really did not know how good Rose was until she beat Wei Li. And then I went and watched her at Madison Square Garden beat Wei Li a second time. I will not count her out. And I know that Ribas is a tough opponent. I'm just sharing with you, Rose at 115 pounds is a handful. Five rounds is what is made for her. The pressure, the spotlight doesn't affect Rose Namajunas.
You know, Chael, what's crazy is when I think about Rose, she's 31 years old. She's a baby. She is still very young. The reason we think, oh, she's far down the line is because we've seen her so long and so much in so many big situations. But when you look at Rose Namajunas and you look at Amanda Ribas, you see two athletes that want a shot at the new the champion. Look, Zhang Wei Li is really, really good. One time I said she's the greatest athlete of all time ever. And I might have put a little spin on that one, a little icing on the cake on that one. But Rose Namajunas has beaten her twice.
Twice.
So my headline for Monday will be, is Rose back to reclaim the championship?
Sure.
Because in her mind, Chael, especially with the new information that you just gave me, that she felt she was doing okay, it tells me that she believes when she goes back down, she still has the fighting style and the ability to beat Zhang Wei Li, especially in the way that she did it last time.
Yep.
The first time, you could have said it might have been a fluke. She kicked her in the head. She won the fight. Second time, she beat her by decision.
Yep.
And she was the one that wrestled at the end of the fight to win. Remember, a lot was made about her going down to Henry Cejudo and training with Henry to get the takedowns. She got taken down. But Amanda Ribas is a savage, bro. And she is a striker that is going to look to take Rose out early, and she'll do it at every opportunity she gets.
Yeah, and DC, when you're asking me what is the headline going to be Monday, well, let me tell you what Ribas says it's going to be, because she just made a claim yesterday that she's going to knock Rose out. And that's a very big claim. We don't see a lot of knockouts at 115 pounds. Rose certainly on her feet. Tends to take care of herself very well. I don't think that Ribas is playing rope-a-dope, though. I mean, I don't think it's a situation where she's going to talk tough in the media about knockouts and then go look for a takedown. I realize she's going to do a full martial arts match, but I do believe that she thinks she has the hands specifically to deal with Rose on her feet. I think that that's an interesting claim. I think that Wei Li should show a little bit more attention to these contenders' matches, maybe talk about them just a little bit. I would think Wei Li would want in there with Rose just because it is 2-0. They had a little round-robin going with the spars as well. Esparza looks like maybe she's out of the way. Ribas matters. If Ribas can beat Rose, it will be significant. If she can knock her out like she says she can do, Daniel, I think that will, in fact, steal the headline.
Yeah, if she can knock her out, that would be stunning. I don't anticipate a knockout. These two are too talented. I believe it's going to be a great fight, though, from the UFC Apex. Chael, these two are fighting this weekend, but you and I, you know, we got to fight every single week because we go five rounds. We go five rounds, Chael. So it's time to go five rounds with DC and Chael. Chael, round one.
All right.
John Jones and Tom Aspinall came together for the first time, and there was a face-off.
Yep.
What did you take from it? Did it raise the excitement?
Oh, yes, it did. See, that's the real John Jones. So many times we have told John Jones, be yourself. Don't pretend to be a nice guy. He's always thought that's an insult. Like, well, if I'm pretending to be a nice guy, then you must say that I'm not. No, John Jones is a competitor. And you look at his eyes right here, and the eyes are what's telling the story. Muhammad Ali had a very famous quote. He said, if you ever dream of beating me, wake up and apologize. John Jones cannot believe that Tom Aspinall thinks he can beat him. He cannot believe that he's standing next to him and saying things to the media. John Jones is still hungry, and he's a true competitor. And that look in his eye, Daniel, that's the real John Jones.
Yeah, he's evil, too. He kind of evil a little bit. He's a tough guy, man. He really is the final boss. He's a tough dude. He hates when people stand up to him. It didn't raise my excitement level to this point. It almost felt like he no-sold him. When Tom put his hand on him, he kind of like, eh. Yep. He kind of no-sold him a little bit. Give him a little bit, John. Build the anticipation. You know how to do it. Play the game like you and I did. We know how to do it. Let's go, John. Give us a little bit more, dog. So it didn't raise my anticipation, but it was good.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
What's new from Apple? There's the new iPhone 16 Pro, built for Apple Intelligence. And it comes with the all-new camera control, giving you an easier way to quickly access your camera tools. The new Apple Watch Series 10 has our biggest display and our thinnest design ever. And this? It's the sound of active noise cancellation, now available on one of two new AirPods 4 models. So quiet. Check out all of the new products and new features at Apple.com. You can even buy yourself something new. See Apple.com for product availability updates. Apple Intelligence coming this fall.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
All right, round number two is the return of the king himself. Jose Aldo is coming back to the UFC. I didn't see this coming. They were talking about him doing a boxing career. I followed two of his boxing matches. DC, what do you think of the return of Aldo?
Why did he leave? Why did Jose Aldo leave? There was no reason. He was still competitive. He was still fighting at the very top of the sport. He went to pursue boxing, but that's one of those situations where a lifetime get you a little bit of a pat on the back and say, hey, go chase the money. But to me, it tells me that Jose Aldo still loves mixed martial arts, but also maybe the money ain't as good out there as you think for a guy that fights at 135, 140 pounds. But I'm excited. I'm going to Brazil for it, and I cannot wait to watch Jose Aldo compete in his home country.
I appreciate the point that you just made about the money. There is a misconception. We keep seeing all these MMA guys that want to go over to boxing. We never see it in reverse. And the money stories simply aren't true. I mean, right, Conor Floyd was once in a lifetime. And I only bring that up for the fans at home so they know this isn't as much of a return as you might think. Like, Jose Aldo, even when he went into boxing, he never left the gym.
Yeah.
He's still with Andre Pettinaris. That is still who cornered him. That's the same guy. He's been doing the same stuff with the same people. Even if he took a few of his tools away from himself, Jose Aldo isn't exactly returning. He's just coming home, at least in my opinion.
I love their relationship. Round number three. Right place, right time for Steve Urseg. He's the number 10 ranked guy, Chael. He's getting the title fight against Alessandro Pantoja.
Yep.
What do you make of it?
Well, listen, good for Urseg. And first off, that is an absolute handful. I don't know how familiar you are with Steve, but he's crazy good. Ariel Helwani sent me a text and said, make sure you watch this guy. He's going to be a future champion. I turned to Ian Parker and said, Ariel Helwani just said that this guy's going to be a future champion. And Ian goes, oh, yeah, make sure you're watching Urseg. Now, Pantoja, this is a whole nother game, man. Pantoja will do whatever it takes to survive. This guy was driving Uber, just for example, as he was getting 2 workouts a day. He would go and babysit. He would do whatever it took to make ends meet because he believed in himself. And Daniel, when he fights, I see it. I mean, if a fight is 25 minutes, he will go every single second. He never beats himself, and he wants to fight at home.
I love Steve Urseg. He looks like the guy from The Office, but when he gets inside the octagon, he's an absolute killer. Love him. Love him getting the opportunity. But let me tell you something, man. When you go against a champion, that the moment he gets the belt, he looks in the camera and goes, Dad, are you proud of me now? That's a different disturbed dude when we're talking about Alessandro Pantoja. So it's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. In Urseg, the ride's been pretty smooth. Dad, are you proud of me now? Dude's crazy, Chael.
You said Urseg looks like the dude from The Office. I think you mean Andy. He looks like Andy from The Office. I love it because I can see it. All right, I want to move on. Peter Young, it just comes out that he beat Song with a torn ACL. Daniel, what do you think of that?
Unbelievable, because we know how tough Peter Young is. What we didn't know, that he was having to rely on it that much in that fight. It didn't look like he was himself. If I'm being completely honest, I was a little bit shocked at how easily Song was able to track him down early. I was a little bit shocked that Peter Yan wasn't more on the movement with his feet, but now it all makes sense. But it also speaks to how great this champion is, because he got it done against a very tough Young and a guy that was willing to fight him every moment of that fight down in Miami.
Yeah, and I feel like Peter Yan was fighting for more than just attention that night. I feel like he's fighting for his spot on the roster. I think it's that big of a deal. I know the narrative was, can he climb back up and get into title contention? Look, Peter Yan is as good of a fighter as you need to be. Like,
yes.
If you take that in any other weight class, you can get all the way to the gold. I'm just sharing with you to come back and to be hungry and to do these things. Not to mention, when did he hurt the ACL? Was it before the match or during the match? I was never given those details, but it's a very hard thing to push on, let alone to have that kind of performance. Good job by Peter Yan.
It was amazing. Round number 5. Oh, Bo, how we love you. Bo had some words for the critics. Let's go, Bo Nickel.
I think that all these people, it's like that one thing where I should go to their job and, like, they get a raise. I should be like, boo, boo, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, you bum. You've only been working here 2 years. This guy, Jim, over here has been working here 3. You freaking scumbag. You deserve a pay cut, you idiot. That's, I don't know. Like, I don't get paid any more or less. It doesn't really affect me anymore. It's just like, at the end of the day, the decision was made because I probably sell more. Like, more people want to see me. Why would they put me there unless more people want to see me? Because at the end of the day, the most watched spot is the prelims and the main prelim. So if they wanted more people to see me, they would put me at the main prelim. But the reality is they want to sell more pay-per-views, so they put me on the pay-per-view.
Chael, Bo, we love you, but come on, Bo.
I mean, he has no idea what he's talking about. All those guesses were terrible, quite frankly. But what do you – I'm sorry to cut you off, but I mean, I probably sell more. People probably want to see me. Who? What are you talking about? I can't figure out why he's got this spot either. I mean, I think that it's something good. I think that it's a positive. I think he's got an incredible talent. I'd like to see him with Chimaev. I mean, I can only put Bo over. But no, Bo is not a star in pay-per-view as of right now.
So here is what it is. I love that Bo said, I will retire – if you try to put me on the prelims. And I believe that it's something in that statement made the UFC go, okay, we're going to put this guy on UFC pay-per-views. But Bo's not selling pay-per-views. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, Bo, we love you.
Yeah, he's got us stuck because we love it. We want to put him over.
We want to put you over, but Bo, you put us in a bad spot.
Yeah. And I'm as curious as anybody. Like, card placement to me is actually really interesting. I thought Bo made a fair point. He said, I don't get paid anymore. I'm just in there doing my job. I like that whole thing. I do think that there's a push coming for Bo. I think that's good news. By the way, I got to switch gears here because this week in MMA history, we got something real special. Not to mention, this week was Daniel Cormier's birthday.
Oh, there he is. There he is. That's
Look at that. Oh, wow. My God. Now, Daniel, we've got a surprise for you.
Oh, wow.
All right, the team over here. Now, I'm going to pass this to you. That's a hat. Generally, the tradition is candles, but we don't want to start a fire hazard here. We're in somebody else's property, so we just got you the hat on top of that. Look at this handsome guy.
That's a good-looking kid right there. That's little Daniel Cormier from Lafayette, Louisiana. That's just a boy that grew up on the north side of Lafayette, Louisiana. He's a bit shy.
Yep.
Look at his shoulders. You can tell when a kid's shy when they do this with their shoulders. They kind of want to go within themselves, but then I became DC.
That young man right there got his college paid for through athletics, got an education, represented the country in the Olympic Games two different times and became a two-division world champion. And now look at him. He's sitting side-by-side with Chael Peay. Can you believe it?
It's probably come a long way. Accomplishment.
Probably is.
I love when I got my show. I love when I let you onto my show. And then your Twitter post was, man, I'm so happy for Daniel.
Yeah.
that was
really
good.
I feel like you really arrived.
I've arrived.
Yes, that's how I felt.
Because I chased you down at Fox.
Yes.
You left. You're like, I'm not working with this bum.
And now
I finally got you. I've finally been able to corner Chael. Guys, listen. It's a great week because I was born. The whole world's better for it. But you know what else is really cool to see? The Hammer! Mark Coleman is already back in the gym. The dude was
awesome.
Look at Mark.
Look at him.
I mean, look at Mark. Mark almost perished last week in a fire. Oh, 5 days later, dude is in the gym with Matt Brown, who is also an absolute psychopath and one of my favorite fighters to watch because he's so fun. How about the Hammer, Chael?
Mark Coleman was an NCAA champion for Ohio State. I bring that up because we got the NCAA wrestling going on this week. Rights are given right here to ESPN for anybody who wants to check that out. But I got to tell you, what a comeback. I mean, he saved both of his parents. He went in to save the dog, which is just a hero move.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's the thought that counts in life. That's what you're going to get judged for on the other side. This is awesome. I am proud of him, and I'm really quite blown away that he's on his feet and back and has such a positive attitude. You know, he turned to sobriety a little over a year ago. He goes to that gym every single day, keeps his eye on Matt Brown and a couple of other guys, giving back to the community. I don't think he's paid to be in there. They want him in there because they respect him, and we respect him too, Daniel.
We absolutely respect Mark for everything he did in wrestling. And like we said last week, hats off to the Hammer for doing what he did. And now this guy's going to be doing something this weekend that all of us are going to be doing. He's going to be watching some wrestling from his house. Guys, listen, every week Chael and I will do good guy, bad guy twice. You guys have been supporting us. We love you so much. Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, ESPN Plus, and ESPN2, midnight Eastern every single week. For you wrestling fans, stick around. Chael and I will do our NCAA wrestling breakdown next, and we're joined by Zach Esposito, head coach of development for USA Wrestling. Let's go.
You know, when somebody gives you a birthday present, it's traditional to say thank you.
Oh, thanks, Chael.
Oh, you're welcome.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Good Guy, Bad Guy NCAA Wrestling Preview. We're joined by my man, Zach Esposito. He is the national development coach for USA Wrestling. And obviously, we got the bad guy. Boys, we are here for the NCAA wrestling tournament. We all get excited because you never know who's out there, right? You might see Chael Sonnen wrestling for the University of Oregon, me for Oklahoma State, Johnny Hendricks, Jake Roshaw, so many great athletes that fought in the UFC, became champions, competed on this weekend. But the big story this weekend will be Penn State. They've won 10 of the last 12 NCAA tournaments as a team. This year, they may have their best team of all time. They have a chance to have 10 All-Americans. So my question to you two is the Penn State dominance. Everybody loves a dynasty. But is that dynasty good for this sport, the sport of wrestling? Because, I mean, honestly, I don't really watch new movies if I know the ending.
Sure.
And it almost feels like a...
Sure. Well, and Danny, that's why we're here, right? We got the bad guy, the worst guy, and we got the expert. And I really, really do want to hear what Zach has to say, only because when Penn State is coming up and you are surrounded by that success, it's hard to get much of a pop. I was an All-American at the University of Oregon. That might not sound much to you guys, but I was the only one. I mean, yeah. I got a lot of credit. The professors treated me in a certain way. The fellow students treated me a certain way, and I felt a certain way. You got to Penn State, you don't win a national championship. They'll treat you that in reverse. It was a fail. You were a miss. We wasted our time on you, and I just ask, is that a good thing or is it too much pressure, Zach, to put on a young kid?
Listen, it's exciting. But I'll say this. We haven't been down this road before. Oklahoma State has won a bunch of titles.
Oh, yeah. You
know, Dan Gable has won 15 titles, yep. Won 9 in a row, going for his 10th. So is it really good for the sport or is it bad for the sport? You know, Cale Sanderson is a 4-time national champ, undefeated person for a reason. He's a competitor. And that's who he is. And so to think that this train is going to stop. Oh, I'm sorry, Dan.
Who did he beat in the finals?
Oh, yeah.
I might have just talked about him whipping me
in the finals. Forget you guys. Y'all suck. That's why you don't make friends with these types of people. But guys, here's the deal. I love to watch it. They're really good. They're really, really good. I just wonder, though, when you know, we know, this weekend is about second place. They're predicted to win this thing by 50 points, which doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
I just think that parity, as in most sports, because that's why college basketball is fun right now. That's why the NFL is fun right now. Parity wins in most cases. We're not really getting that right now in wrestling.
It's true, but I'll say this. For the sport, wrestling has to do a lot to get noticed. I mean, you think about Anthony Robles had to win an NCAA title on one leg to be number one on SportsCenter's top 10. Okay. Kyle Dake had to win 4 national championships in 4 different weight classes. Okay. We have to do a lot in this sport to get noticed. So for Penn State to go on and win as much as they're winning, listen, it's going to elevate us up as coaches. Okay. Yes, maybe it's a race for second right now, but I will say this. You know, things are a little bit tougher now. NIL, transfer portal to kind of slow that ship down and slow that train down. But still, it is raising. If you want to look at this sport and the NCAA championship from 2 down to 15,
it's as competitive. The race for second is so fun.
Yes.
It's so fun, Chill.
Yeah.
So you look at Iowa, they have an opportunity. Michigan, Arizona State, Oklahoma State. But is this the best team, Chael, that we've ever seen?
It's certainly arguably. And when we do talk about is it good for sport, it's definitely good for kids that dream of being part of the sport. Because I will tell you one thing about Penn State. That is sportsmanship at its finest. Cale Sanderson has never bragged. He's never made a claim. He's never been down on a guy.
I think he should.
I mean, it's hard to get him to do an interview. You know, he kind of looks down. He's kind of quiet. He never puts himself over. He always puts that program. I just think that there's a lot that we can be proud of. I think Cale deserves a lot of credit. And by the way, when you thought Zach and I were teasing you for that match, yeah, if you would have beat Cale, you'd have been NCAA champion. That's true. If you would have beat Cale, you likely would not have been an Olympian. Yep. You likely would not have been a Grand Prix champion. You likely would not have been a UFC champion. I know we're going to get to that in a minute. That's right.
I'd have been happy.
I think that you owe a lot to that match with Cale, and we'll get to that in just a moment.
Yes, we will. I believe this is a great team. But when you look at individuals and individual weight classes, which one are you two looking forward to the most? Chael, you go first.
141. And do you want to know why? Because Aliris isn't there. I think that's a big deal. When you can raise somebody up and then Aliris is going to come back. So we're going to have a champion versus a returning champion next year. I mean, just the storyline right there, not to mention for the Olympic team. When I look at Bo Bartlett, he was number 2 at the U.S. Open. He's got these Olympic aspirations. He's planning to be at the final wrestle-off next month. And that goes for a lot of other guys. And I bring up Bo Bartlett. He's not even a lock here. He's not a shoe-in. No. Aliris is getting ready for him. It sets up next year. 141 is a real pick-em, but I will just tell you, I think that they're also going to matter in the mini-tournament in 4 weeks.
I'm going to have to say 125. You know, the reason is because we've been talking about this all year. You know, who's going to shake it out and who's actually going to go come out, be the champ.
And the freshman's the number one seed.
And the freshman's the number one seed there. You know, it's really exciting to watch it. I'm really interested to see Carter Starace. I mean, you don't throw that type of temper tantrum at the Big Ten championship, go home, if you're not as hurt as what people might think you are. So it has me to believe like, hey, this guy's ready to go. And we're going to get fireworks right off the bat where he hits a number one seed.
That's horrible.
And
this is the thing. 3 NCAA champions on the same
side. All on one side of the bracket.
Come on.
So that's exciting for me.
Hey, that's my weight class.
Come on.
133. That's my weight class.
Yeah.
133 is my weight class. Why? Can Dayton Fix get it done finally? Can Dayton Fix get it done? He's wrestled the NCAA Finals three times. Last year he was fourth.
And I've coached
Dayton. Worst tournament of his career, or his life probably, for Dayton Fix.
Yes.
He was fourth.
Yep. Yes.
Can he get it done? Dayton Fix gets the number one seed over Ryan Crookham, who has beaten Vito Arujal twice. Vito Arujal is the world champion. Then you got other great athletes at 4 and 5. You have the kid from Michigan, Dylan Ragason, who's unbelievably tough. And then you have the other kid from, what's the cat? I don't remember where he's from. At number 5. Unbelievable weight class. Can Dayton get it done? Here's the issue with Vito Arujal. He's the world champ. He's the reigning NCAA champion. He steps on the line. It costs him.
Yep.
It ultimately caused Vito. Should that guy chill? Should he get something for actually stepping on the line? Like, he could have sat outside and said, I'm not wrestling. I want the number one seed because I'm the man. I won the worlds. I won the NCAAs. Yep. He stepped on the line and got beat by a freshman twice. And now he's the sixth seed.
And at number 5, I think you're thinking of the Big Ten champion
from Rutgers, by the way.
From
Rutgers, yes.
But I will share this with you because I get your point about Crooklyn. I feel that it's – or I get your point about Vito. I feel that it's Crooklyn that got a little shorthanded here. Mm-hmm. He went out there and beat a world champion. He beat the defending Olympian. He wasn't even supposed to be the starter.
He should have been one.
I do think he should have been one. I think that Vito and Fix should have to go through each other, yes. And I think that if you were to ask Crooklyn, who do you want on your side, or rather, who would you rather avoid, I think he would have put those guys on the same side.
If I'm being honest, I was happy. As an Oklahoma State guy, Oh my God, I was so happy that it was Crookham, Vito, and Orion from North Carolina State at the 3, and Dayton's on the top side with those other guys. What do you think?
Well, listen, I mean, being a former coach of Dayton there, there's a special place in my heart for Dayton. So I'm excited to see a seed, but still, it's a tournament. You've got to go
through it.
And you know, Rutgers kid is very tough also. I mean, he kind of whooped up on Ragason, I think, at the Big Ten Championship. So, you know, for me, it's exciting to see it, but I like your pick at 33. You got the orange goggles on. I know that's what it is.
It's like, 165, Zach. Oh, come on.
Hey, listen, I've been in college coaching for over 20-something years, and this is the first time this weekend that I'm going to get to enjoy it with my friends here and watch it. I cannot wait as a fan to watch this, but, man, 165.
Keegan O'Toole, how good is Keegan O'Toole, bro?
Good. And listen, he runs into Peyton Hall. You know, he could run into Payne Hall. Yep. You know, and this is a guy that he's beaten before plenty of times, but it's still a tough match. But that whole bottom side of the bracket, too, I mean, man.
Carr's
the four seed.
Carr and O'Toole are on the same side. Yes.
National champs.
But
the
number 5 seed's insane, too.
Yeah.
It's crazy how good this bracket is. But I talked to Ben Askren about this and Keegan O'Toole. I said, Ben, where did the change come for this kid? He has no weaknesses.
Yeah.
When you watch Keegan O'Toole chill, he does everything well.
Sure.
He's a master on the mat. He's a master on the feet. He's got unbelievable cardio, and he just seems to love the sport of wrestling. And that's what you like to see.
Yeah, most definitely. And by the way, I mean, so O'Toole and Messenbrink is a huge deal.
Oh,
and that's us being disrespectful, just blowing Carr off, not for nothing. I'll tell you this, looking forward, though, I don't know what Keegan O'Toole is going to do at the Olympic Trials. I know he's not going to go 0-2. So now the question comes, who is he going to knock off? And I got to say the same thing for Starace at the Olympic Trials. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's not going 2-3.
Nope.
So who are these guys going to knock off?
Starace was just too small last year.
Yep.
If he was a little bigger, he could have been a real issue, right? Didn't he make – no,
that's right.
It was O'Toole last year that was just too small last year.
He had a great match against Jason Nolf
at the U.S. Open. He was just too small.
Just a little young, just not as groomed.
Not ready. Here's my last question, guys, before we go, because the tournament's starting here in a few minutes. We've got to get going. Round of 12, quarterfinals are my favorite tournaments of any wrestling tournament. But in the round of 12, it means more on this show because, Chael, I feel that's where we see our next wave of wrestlers that come into mixed martial arts. That is where you might see our next future stars, right? For every DC, our Chael, All-Americans, Bo Nichols, there are a number of guys that fell a tad bit short of a lifelong goal and it keeps them hungry. Is there a guy that you can think of off the top of your head that you see moving into mixed martial arts that could be a star down the line? For me, it's the Iowa State heavyweight, Younger Bastido.
Wow. I like that idea. And by the way, you talk about blood rounds, round of 12. Mm-hmm. The greatest pain I had in sport was losing to Anderson Silva with about a minute left. But What people never knew is I was almost happy to have that because it replaced my greatest pain, which was losing in the blood bank.
Yes.
I lost to an Iowa State kid named Zach Thompson, and that was a pain that kept me up at night that never goes away, and a lot of people can experience it, and I only say that because that is that drive.
Oh my
that
God.
Is what we talk about, right? Whether you lose for the championship or you lose in the blood round, but it does keep you going. I think that's your point, where we're going to see guys being the next mixed martial arts star, that they're going to move to that next chapter because they're not satisfied here, and I agree with you, partner.
Listen, that round is extremely painful. I actually was a second seed as a true freshman coming here and lost an All-American round to the guy I eventually beat in the NCAA championship finals, Philip Simpson from Army.
You guys wrestled first at the blood round.
Yes, as a true freshman. And listen, speaking from experience, I could wake up at 2 in the morning, have to go to the bathroom, and as I'm flushing that toilet, I'm going, I cannot believe I lost. Dude. No, it's the worst feeling in the world.
It's the worst.
It's the worst feeling in the world. But I will say this also, to your point, okay, we're talking around the 12 guys that are hungry going on, but I'll tell you this, I got to spend some time with a guy named Andrew Alirez up in Colorado this year, and this guy is a dog.
And he's
a guy that's capable of going, and not only just being a blood round guy, you know, he's actually, if you think about Andrew Alirez, he was never All-American until he was a national champ.
Yeah. Right.
And this guy's got it in him.
This guy's got it in him.
He could be a great fighter, too.
Andrew Alirez would be a tremendous fighter. And hey, Chael, you want to talk about nightmares? I sleep at night. And I wake up and I yell, Doug Lee, Chael's teammate beat me in the blood round my junior year in college. Guys, watch this tournament. What an amazing round of wrestling. What an amazing weekend of wrestling we have. It's going to be fantastic. Guys, Zach, thank you for joining
thank
me
you.
And Chael.
Thank you,
Zach.
Thank
we appreciate you. It. Guys, watch the NCAA championship starting right now on all ESPN platforms. Let's go.